Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Today, Monday's Memorial Day. I got to mention that. First of all, of course, we want to thank any service people here or people that you may know. Of course, they mean a lot to me personally, because without them, we wouldn't have the country we have. And of course, the ones who sacrificed themselves. Got to remember those folks, and that's exactly why we have a Memorial Day. And from the bottom of my heart, again, thank you for your service. We love you, and keep on trucking. With that said, you ever just looked at your hands? Look at them right now. Just look at them. Back and front. What do you see? How often do you look at them, though?
All the time?
Well, I do, because I work with my hands, and a lot of people here probably do as well. But do you always see the same thing? No. Or have they changed in some particular way? And they changed over the years. I'm not talking about physically and just the appearance we're talking about. I'm talking about what they've done, or even the things they haven't done. Then as you start to think of those hands, what they've been through, and if you're like me and some random song pops in your head, of course, people know that pretty well. And I was a kid. There was a song that was very popular. Of course, you probably might know this one. It's called "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." And for some crazy reason, I start, you know, when I'm at work and I'm working, I start singing it out loud. I don't care. And then, of course, can't get that song out of my head. And I keep going and I'm working, and then all of a sudden it turns into Neil Diamond's "Hands, Touching Hands, Reaching Out, Touching You." Sweet. No, don't song. No. Anyway, now that I got that in your head, let's pray. Father Lord, thank you for giving us this day, that we may be thankful for the presence, your presence here today. And we ask for your words to be spoken through me today, that they may reach anyone that may need to hear them. May all we say and do here be pleasing to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's back to the hand thing. I got to thinking, wait a minute. Does God really have hands? I remember the Bible actually speaks of God having hands. But what about the very hands that God gave us? For a lot of folks, hands are used to work. They're able to be used as tools and as well hold tools. In the right hands, the tools are capable of doing great things. Do we always trust them? In the right hands, a surgeon's scalpel is used to do precision work. In the right hands, a screwdriver or a wrench are used to work on a car or a building project. The aircraft we fly in the right hands of a skilled pilot or even an Uber driver, in those hands take us where we want to go. We put a lot of trust in those hands. We hope that we are in the right hands. Then, and of course, in the hands of our sewing needles and kneading needles, in those hands of a skilled person can make beautiful things. In the hands of our wood carving tools, chisels that can make beautiful wood carvings and sculptures. In certain hands, a paintbrush. And the right hands can make a masterpiece or touch up some paint around the house. In the right hands holds drumsticks or strum a guitar or twinkle the ivories on a piano. They make beautiful music. But then there's God's hands, which led me to studying the word hands in the Bible specifically, God's hands. Now, when you and I talk about hands, we're usually referring to those little, literal five-fingered appendages hanging off the ends of our arms here. But in the English language, we also use hands in a symbolic and metaphorical sense. For instance, we say, he's got the upper hand, meaning someone got an advantage over someone else. I have to hand it to you, meaning you feel that that you should be given somebody credit for something that they did. Can you give me a hand with that? Which is not literally chopping off your hand and giving somebody your hand, but it's a metaphorical way of saying, asking if they need help. I looked up the word hand, and I was surprised. There's 36 definitions and 10 variants of those meaning for the words hand. Only one of which means the literal hand we use for our physical hand. To the Hebrew and the Greek, the word also, a hand also has a bunch of metaphorical meanings and was used to represent several ideas. For instance, there were several common phrases in which hands were used as a symbol of power. Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who persecute me. Mark 14:41, then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Is it enough that the hour has come? Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. There are lots of other ways that we can use hands, like they do in the Bible. The dropping of hands symbolizes weak or lack of resolution, like you gave up or your resolve to defeat. To strengthen the hands, of course, is another way to look at it. You strengthen your hands is the opposite of dropping them. You put your hands up. You know, keep your hands up. I used to be a fan of, that's why I'll go into that story. I used to be a fan, I still am a little bit. And boxing, I love boxing. Actually, when I was a kid, I went to Golden Gloves and I got to throw hands a little bit. And I was actually pretty decent at it. You know, tough kid, short, they couldn't reach me and I couldn't even get in there pretty quick. But one thing always stuck in my mind is put your hands up, keep your hands up. You want to continue to fight and continue to strive to be the best, but then nobody can hurt you. Yeah, they can, but God is there for you. See, I can go on and on, of course I could, with many other examples in the Bible, but there's another very interesting thing in the Bible, which is how it's used as a symbol for God's attributes and his characteristics. We know that God has no literal physical hands because in John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A spirit does not have hands or a body because the body or the hands are part of the body. But God chooses to show himself in different ways. Though God doesn't have literal hands, the Bible talks about God having hands to help us understand his nature and his attributes on a human level, something that we can understand and grasp. Let's see some things God's Word teaches us about God through his hands. Number one, God's hands are fearful hands. Hebrews 10:30-31. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Again and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. See, God is a God of judgment. The Bible teaches us that. This isn't sometimes popular, though. We like to think of God as some soft soul in the sky who will overlook our sins because he loves us so much. He is that. God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. But if we don't come to him on his terms, or if we reject him and reject his love and his mercy by refusing or neglecting his free gift of salvation, we have a warning. A warning in the Word of God is his everlasting judgment. Yes, we can count on God's grace and his pardon if we come to him for salvation. But if we don't, We're reminded of the scripture that he is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne on him who sat on it, for those who faced the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's the fearful hands I'm talking about. It's truly a frightening thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But there's a way to avoid that. Yes, God has truly fearful hands, but let me add that God's hands are saving hands. Amen. Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hands is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. See, I'm so thankful that God's hands are fearful hands. They're also saving hands. And I'm thankful that God's hands are not too short, that they cannot save. We're told here why God's hands are fearful hands. Well, it teaches us that God's hands are here to save rather than punish. Verse 2 again says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have had hid his face from you that he will not hear. So the Bible teaches us over and over again that we separate ourselves from God. It is our sin that does this. God is holy, and he also is infinite. He is infinite in everything. He is everything that he is in, which means that he is infinitely holy or perfect. And his perfection is so infinite and so finite that he can't allow sin in his own presence. So Isaiah reminds us that our sin has hid his face from us, that he will not hear. God holds the prayer of sinners until their sin is taken away. He will not have a true relationship with a person until those sins are taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll look at the metaphor here in verse 1 again, where we read, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Have you ever watched the TV show Rescue 911? There's one episode that there's two boys who are playing by a drainage ditch in Central Texas. When they got caught up in a flash flood, the water became so raging, such a raging torrent that they couldn't escape it. They were thrashing and trying to get out of there, but they couldn't get out of there. But somehow they survived all the way through, went through the waterway, and finally one of them was taken away and they couldn't find him. But another was able to grasp onto a branch. But he couldn't pull himself to the shore because that water was had so much pressure against him. But a man noticed this, and he ran over to him, and he saw the danger, and he ran to the tree, and he reached out to grab that little kid. I mean, he's reaching and trying to hold on that and try to grab that kid with everything he could. Finally, the boy lost his grip. He lost his grip on that branch, and he was lost. The man was well-intentioned. I mean, he tried everything he could, but his reach was too short. Praise God. The Bible says that the Lord's hand is not too short, that it can actually save. No matter how desperate your condition before God, no matter how far down in the depths of your sin, no matter how far you've sunken, no matter how weak your grip on God's grace is, God's hands is long enough and strong enough to pull you in and save your soul. Verse 2 says, our sins have separated us from God, but even though we were all sinners, living in sin, willfully, often controlled by our sin, the Bible says that God did something for us that we simply didn't deserve. He paid the penalty for our sin in our place. He reached down with his long and strong hand to save us. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because of Christ's death on that cross, the Bible teaches that if we will put our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation, not in your good life or your church or your religion or creed or your baptism, but simply believe that Christ Jesus died for us. If you just believe in that and accept that truth and rely on it and depend on it, you can experience God's saving hand. You want proof of that? I got some for you. How about John 3:16? Actually, there's a lot of John in here, but I like that one to begin with because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Let's go back to that first one, right? A little bit later, John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 6:47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. That should be enough, but it's not enough for all of us. See, yes, God's hands are fearful hands, but yes, his grace and love and mercy and compassion, they are also saving hands. If you believe in Jesus to wash away your sin, whose hands do you want to be in? Third, God's hands are keeping hands. John 10:27-29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them that they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. See, you belong to God and don't even know it. Well, actually, most of you probably do. We forget sometimes. See, these verses teaches us the most wonderful thing, the truth of God in the Bible. That truth is that God does everything to save us. He does everything to keep us saved. Just a few of the good promises that God has. 1 Corinthians 1:8, who also confirmed you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jude 1, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ are called. Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That means he's absolutely happy when you come to him. He wants you to come to him. He's provided you all these different ways to save you from yourself. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. See, God's hands are saving hands. And when God saves somebody, he's not like a lifeguard who pulls people into the boat only to throw them back in the ocean once again when they screw up. When he pulls you out of that ocean of sin into that boat of salvation, he takes you all the way to shore. All the way to heaven. His serving hands are keeping hands. Fourth, God's hands are helping hands. Well, didn't you just say that, Will? Let me show you some more. Isaiah 41:10. For I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will keep or help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that beautiful? For I, the Lord your God, will hold our right hand, saying to us, fear not, I will help you. I read a story, it's from Pastor Chuck Sy from Grace Baptist Church. He wrote, once as a boy, walking among some big gravel rocks on the long path leading up to the Mammoth Caves in Kentucky, the rocks were rather large for a kid, for a little kid's feet. Anyone with weak ankles, for that matter, would have a hard time, he said. And I kept falling down and hurting myself. So I did what any other kid does. I said to my dad, Daddy, can you help me? I keep falling down and it hurts. Dad held my hand and he helped me. When I would start to stumble, he would pull on me, keep me upright. I remember doing that to my own kids. Stand up. We were in the ocean, same thing. My oldest son sitting there. Like, lost my wife's hand, so I went to grab him and I pulled him up. I said, here he is. Go back. And of course, when we go hiking and stuff like that, first thing I do, I put my hand out. My kids and my wife needed my hand. That's what our daddy does. He said, Dad, help me. I keep falling down. That's just the picture we have of God here. We keep fumbling and falling down and messing things up. When all God wants us to do is call out for him for help. And when we do, he reaches down and holds our hand and he helps us up. There are surely many, many ways he helps us, but a couple come to mind real quick. He helps us through our lives' trials. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, when you go through life's problems, your problems and your trials, isn't it great to have a spiritual father who we can say, Daddy, can you help me? I keep falling down and it hurts. And God always is there to help us. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And David said in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. God helps us during our downfalls. Psalm 37:23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fail or fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. See, when we sin, when we fall, we fail the Lord, and sin causes us pain. Isn't it great to know we can actually say, Daddy, can you help me? I keep falling down, and it hurts. And the Lord says that he upholds us with his hand. God is such a wonderful, loving Father with saving hands, keeping hands, helping hands. His hands are strong. Psalm 89:13, you have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Remember when you were a little kid, if this happened, putting your hand up to your dad, your dad's hand. His hand would be so strong and usually has calluses on it, rough. But your hand would be so small and frail compared to his hand. I didn't necessarily have that, but I gave that to my kids. I put their hands up to mine when they were babies. Now they're as big as mine, or bigger. So you would marvel at the size of your dad's hand, if you had one, and the strength compared to yours. Well, God's hands are strong. And in fact, they're even stronger than that. It's stronger than anything we can actually imagine. It's stronger than we can conceive of. You know, we can try to accomplish spiritual things in our power, in our the weakness of our own hands. But when we try, we always fail. How much wiser is it to turn over to God's strong and mighty hand? God's hands are so strong. Strong enough to save, no matter how sinful you may be. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Strong enough to handle your biggest problem. There's no problem too big for God. He is all-powerful and he's the ruler of the universe. Did you create a universe today? No. He did. He's strong enough to conquer the greatest temptation too. Psalm 98:1 says, O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. See, there's no sin you cannot conquer in God's power. Remember what I said, in God's power. He can give you the strength to overcome it. God's hands are a wonderful study of who God is. God will judge sin, for he has fearful hands. He will save if you trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, for he has saving hands. Once he saves, he keeps us forever. He has keeping hands. And he loves us so much that he is ever present to help us. We can never turn around and say, God, where are you? I don't see you. You only don't see him because you have failed to accept him. He loves us so much that he is ever present, for he has helping hands. And those helping hands are strong. I remember my kids looking at my hands. I have fairly strong hands. To be able to literally lift up one of my children with one hand, when they were little, I can't do it anymore. It takes both hands. No, I don't. But that's the beautiful thing I try to remember is the fact that I was able to hold in my hands from the very beginning who God gave me to protect, to nurture. He also gave me my wife to hold into my hands. I can't keep her forever, but I know where she's going to go because God provided that way. So if you never put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, let me urge you to do so today. Do you know somebody who absolutely needs God's hands? We can pray for them, but we also can offer them something by showing them who Jesus Christ is in our life. If you have a problem that seems too big for you, rest in God's strong hands by faith. Do it today. If you have allowed yourself to fall back into sin, no matter how small or insignificant you may think it is, don't think God can't deliver you from it. Repent. Confess your sin to God and trust in His promise of restoration and fellowship. God's the ultimate in working hands. He can fix anything, even the most rusted car. We are that rust. We get tarnished. We get bogged down. Sometimes our tires are flat. But He can air those tires up. He can put fuel in you, and He can get you revved up like you would never believe. He can take that tarnish off and make you shine. Shiny black or shiny chrome, doesn't matter to Him. He loves you in any color you come. His hands are able to fix anything. Now, I know a lot of guys and some girls who can fix a lot of things. But they needed to be taught how to do so. They needed to be trained on how to do so. God is that trainer. God is that mechanic that knows everything. God is that engineer who can design something that nobody can think of. Look around. There's only one more set of hands I want to remind you of. His hands were pierced for our iniquities. Remind yourselves why Jesus took that sin of the world upon Himself. You were worth it to Him. Whose hands do you want to be in? Father, Lord, we thank You for Your helping hands. We thank You and love You for what You provided for us. And Father, we give ourselves into Your hands, Father. Love us today and show us tomorrow that we know where we're going to be. And we praise You in all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.